stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
We welcome you aboard our Highway of Guide.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome back, listeners. Thanks for joining us for this show. A few episodes back, Rick posed the question to us. What would you do if you had to take a friend to Disney for one day? By the way, if you missed this, this was on episode 245. That day the episode got published, I got a message from Rick asking if I'd seen our own Facebook group page, which I hadn't, too busy. So I went and checked it out, and there I saw a video that was of Patrick and Rick sitting in an airport. And just sit back for a minute and listen to the audio portion of that recording.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Rick.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Have you ever heard of a thing called a podcast?
I have.
Really? Have you ever heard of one called Monorail Tales?
Vaguely.
Well, I just listened to this episode, and they're asking the question, what would you do if you had one day to do at Disney? So it kind of gave me an idea. What do you reckon?
Maybe we should go to Disney.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, while we're at the airport, I think it might be a pretty good idea.
Better, no place better than here to take us.
So, I guess we'll find out tomorrow what we'll do if we do one day at Disney.
I guess so. Looking forward to it.
After seeing this video, I think I let out a very loud, no way, and kind of rushed into the kitchen to find Steve to show him. You have to understand, none of us knew any of these plans that Rick and Patrick had for going to Disney for one day. So tonight we have Rick and Patrick who are going to share with us what taking your very close friend to Disney for one day is really like. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Thank you for that introduction.
Oh, you are most welcome. Now, I am going to let you get to share the full day with us. But before you start the full day, Rick and Patrick, can you take us back to just how the idea came about, how long ago you guys have been planning this and keeping it top secret from the rest of your co-hosts?
Well, yeah. I think I instigated it, didn't I?
I think so. Yeah, I think Rick kind of posed the question. And I think it originally just started out as, you know, one of those things that, man, it would be great if we could really do this. And, you know, we were just kind of thinking of it as like a theoretical situation. But then, like, the more we talked about it, we're like, man, we think this is doable. So we started looking at dates. But I think you originally brought it up, if I'm not mistaken, when we looked at it on the trip. What was it, in February, that we had been talking about this since?
Yeah. Yeah, the middle of February. I was like, hey, Patrick, I have an idea.
I said, bring it on.
You know what? It was really interesting because when I saw the video, I think my first thought was, what comes first? You know, that the old saying, was it the egg or the chicken? In this game, was it you guys planning the trip or was it the game that sort of instigated your idea? But I think I just learned the answer. You planned this 2 months ago. Wow.
Three months ago, really. So yeah, I mean, we had been, like I said, talking about it since February, and I think we got serious about it pretty quickly. Like we were just kind of joking around there for maybe a few days, and we were like, hey, we think this is doable. So we started looking at our calendars, what dates would be best for us. And we looked at when I was on vacation, and it lined up well with Rick's days off from work. And we were like, we think we can do this. So we looked at the calendars for flights and for, you know, Rick got us a rental car to be able to drive back and forth, which we can get into that. But, you know, everything just kind of aligned and worked out really well for us to do that. And we actually had the tickets and everything bought for at least 2 months prior.
How were you able to keep this top secret from the rest of us?
We didn't tell you. That's
obviously.
If you go back and look at some of the Facebook posts that are on the group and some things, we made some sly little comments on there that, you know, could have given it away. But really, like, you know, I think especially with the show that we had just put out in regards to the one day at Disney. But, you know, we kept the tight lip. No one really knew other than, I think, our family. Like, we didn't even really tell our other friends about it because we didn't want it getting out.
Yeah. So I suppose when you were doing the game with, you know, as co-hosts, did you have big smirks over your faces?
Pretty much.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And see, the biggest challenge for us was finding a flight, because our airports don't have, well, American has daily service, but it involves a layover in Charlotte. So, you know, you take a 2-hour flight and make it about 4 hours, and that would take up too much time. So we looked at driving to Columbus, which is the closest large airport to us. And Southwest, of course, has several flights a day. I was originally looked at like a 6 a.m. flight and then coming back on the last flight of the night. And that would involve us either leaving at midnight here to get there in time to go through security and parking and all that, because Columbus is a 2.5-hour drive. And I got to thinking, if we're going to do that or stay overnight in Columbus, we might as well see about leaving the night before and staying all night at Disney so we can get up and running, start, and not be tired. So that's what I found a room with my DVC points at the Polynesian and booked it. And we booked the last flight from Columbus Tuesday night and the last return flight Wednesday from Orlando.
So, Patrick, level of excitement. You're in the airport now. It's actually happening. You're waiting on to be boarding the flight.
Mm-hmm.
What is that level of excitement sitting next to Rick, knowing that you can spend a day in the park?
Oh, man. So I was more than, you know, I don't think there's a good word to describe it. I think it was something that we've talked about for so long. I mean, we've talked about it probably more than just the 3 months, but like the 3 months very seriously. But, you know, we were messaging each other and just counting down like every week. So we have 4 weeks left. We have 3 weeks left. And then on Tuesday morning, it's like, today's the day we're flying out. So like we were getting ourselves motivated and excited. You know, we're sitting in the airport with our Disney shirts on, with my Star Wars backpack. You know, Rick had all of his stuff. We had our magic bands. Like, we were ready to go. So, you know, that level of excitement was way up there. And, you know, it just the culmination of finally having, like, that the day we were heading there come to fruition. Man, it was a fantastic feeling.
Before you guys actually get into your day, I just want to confirm something. Am I correct in saying this is the first time that you two have been to Disney by yourselves without the family? Or is it even the first time together?
First time together, yes.
Okay. Yeah, first time together.
We've had adjacent trips twice where they left the day we arrived or the day after, you know, something like that. But not to the point where we could overlap and even meet for lunch or anything. I've been without my family, you know, once when I went to the D23 Destination D with Steve, and then Liam and I went by ourselves last summer.
My first trip without my family period. So that was a little different, being there, you know, with a good buddy and a good friend, and kind of having the family at home. So it that was a new experience for me in that take as well.
Okay, so now you get on your flight. You had, I know you had a good flight. I followed you guys.
Very smooth flight.
Now, when you land, you landed at MCO, right?
Yes.
Okay, so one of you, I think it was you, Rick, said that you had rented a car, or maybe it was you, Patrick.
Patrick said I rented a car, yes.
Okay, so was there any issues picking up the rental car? And what time did you actually land?
It was between 11 and 11:30, I think, was when we finally landed, wasn't it, Rick?
Yeah, it was a little bit later than what we were supposed to. The flight was delayed. We got to the Polynesian at 11:45, so we must have arrived at 11.
So you had no issues with car rental or anything? That all went smooth, yeah?
Yeah, I did the check-in prior to, so we just went and picked out a car. We could have picked out a better car because I kept hitting my head.
Oh, what kind was
it? So basically, yeah, Rick needed a hole in the roof to be able to fully fit in the car we chose.
Yeah, I got a mid-size. I should have paid the extra $5 to get a full-size car, but it ended up fine.
Okay, so you and Polly was your resort for the night, yeah?
Yes, and yes. We stopped and got McDonald's on the way because everything would have been closed or pretty close to being closed by the time we got there, and we were hungry.
Right.
Because most of the restaurants in the terminal where we were at in Columbus were closed. We did get some pixie dust when we were at the airport.
Would you like to share that with us then, Rick?
Yeah, I was going through security and I have pre-check. So, you know, I was just putting my stuff on the roller and I got a phone call and it was a 407 area code. So I knew it was probably Disney, and it was a lady from DVC. And I was like, can you hold on just a second? Cause I'm going through security. And she's like, sure. And she had said that the room type that I had booked, which was Lakeview, were all out of service because of a maintenance issue. And then when I got through security and got back on the phone with her, I was like, okay, so I think this is where we were at. You were saying that the room isn't available. And she said, yes, that's correct. And I'm calling to see if you would be willing to take a standard view room, and we would either refund your points or give you cash compensation. And I was like, okay, what is the cash compensation? And she said, it's one night, you know, the night stay. And I was like, okay, well, how much is that? So she looked it up and she said it was $852. And I was like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and take that, because I was afraid if, you know, I got the points, I would have to bank them or something, because, you know, one night isn't enough for a family trip for me. And we didn't have any more points for this use year. And she said, since you've been so nice and patient with me, I'm going to round it up. And I was like, okay. And she said, to $1,000.
Wow.
So I got $1,000 room credit, and she said, are you going to be here longer than this trip, or, you know, this one night? And I said, no, we're actually coming back tomorrow night. And she said, you know, whatever you don't use, they'll send a check out for the difference. So I was like, well, that's a good start to the trip.
Most definitely. So now it's kind of party time. You've got spending money, you guys, yeah?
Yeah.
People complain about Disney, but thanks for sharing that, Rick, because, you know, there is still pixie dust to be had out there.
Yeah. Well, there's another lady sitting near us in the airport, and she was talking loud enough so we could hear, and I guess she wasn't saying it the Polynesian, but she was getting upgraded from a studio to a one bedroom, and she was upset about it. She says she didn't consider that an upgrade. That was just her and her son, and she was arguing with them. So based on what we heard, she didn't get the pixie dust that we did.
What? She was complaining because she was going from a studio to a one bedroom?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. I must be missing something here.
There was something off.
Yeah. Okay, so you got your McDonald's, you got your car, you're at the Poly. What happens then? Do you just, you know, it's probably been a long day for both of you. Do you just crash out?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much?
So we ate on the way. So we were so hungry. We ate. Rick ate while he was driving, and I ate while he was driving. So we got there, and, you know, we bellies were full, and we tried one time. So we hadn't connected our profiles yet. And we wanted to make sure if we got the light Genie Plus, we were going to be able to be connected. So we tried that a few times before we finally went to sleep. And we were having issues with it. So we just kind of put it off and just went to bed for the night.
I think, I know Rick is, wakes up super early in the morning. What about you, Patrick? Are you a early riser?
So I'm normally an early riser. I was worn out, so I still get tired a little easily. So like I slept in until it was like 6:30, 6:40. Rick was like, hey, what time do you need to get up? And he was thoughtful about it and let me sleep in so I would at least get as much rest as I needed out of it. So woke up at 6:40. We got ready, and then we left the hotel room around 7:25, 7:30-ish, and headed over to TTC.
Okay, now, when you were returning from your one day at Disney, Rick, you sent me an itemized list of what you guys got up to that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have that list in front of you to remind you of all the things you guys did?
I do. The game that we played the one day at Disney, I tried to, you know, take some hints from the things that Patrick said that he wanted to do or whatever. There are some things that, you know, we flat out discussed that we wanted to do. Like his, one of the priorities was to go to Sleepy Hollow and get the Nutella and fruit waffle. I'd never had it before. I think Patrick had never had it before. Is that right?
That's right.
So we knew that was one of our priorities. We were going for early entry. The park opened for early entry at 8:30. So we knew we wanted to get there early enough for that. And we had decided that we would do what we can for early entry and then go get the waffle once the park opened at 9. And then I knew that there was a guest relations right around the corner from Sleepy Hollow, and that we were trying to get our accounts linked so we could do Genie Plus together. So, you know, we went and got in line for the early entry. We were not at the front of the line, and as Patrick and I both knew from talking to Fred Hazelton earlier this year, if you're not first, you're last for early entry. So we, of course, headed towards Mine Train, and the line was already to, like, Dumbo when we got there. So we decided to skip that for now. And so we just went to Fantasyland, and we went ahead and did It's a Small World at 8:31. They opened the park probably about 5 or 10 minutes early for early entry. And Peter Pan had a huge line. We decided to skip that, but, you know, it was fun to start at it's a small world because we didn't have to wait to get on. And then we thought we would head towards Liberty Square, but then we realized that it wasn't open yet. For early entry, the only thing that's open is Tomorrowland and Fantasyland. So we did the carousel, you know, because that's what, you know, middle-aged guys like us do.
Absolutely. We look great on it, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not talking about Carousel of Progress. You're talking about the horses, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Did either of you sit on Cinderella's horse?
No.
No, we did not.
Okay.
I thought we'd leave that for a real princess. And then we went ahead and went to Sleepy Hollow. And I couldn't mobile order at all day because in order to use that credit, I had to do room charges. And you can't mobile order in room charge. You have to either, you know, pay for it with the gift card or your credit or debit card. So that was the only little bit of frustration that I had because I love to mobile order anywhere. I don't like to order any other way. But we made it through and we got the waffles. We each got one. And a table magically appeared just for us.
Aww.
And I'll let Patrick give you our experience with the waffles.
Great. Okay, Patrick.
So, if you have not had the, I don't want to call it Nutella because I don't think it's not actually Nutella. It's kind of an off-brand. But if you have not had that waffle and the fresh fruit that comes on it for breakfast, you are missing out on one of the most magical experiences that I've ever had. So, out of all of my lunches, dinners, breakfasts that I've had at Disney, I would say this waffle is in my top three of favorite items I have eaten while on Disney property. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, and I wouldn't think anything like special about just a waffle with the hazelnut spread and fruit, but it was something, I don't know if it's just because you're Disney eating it that always makes it taste better, but it was an absolutely amazing meal just for us to have that and have some water before we walked over. So that if any of our listeners have not tried it, I would highly recommend that you add that to your next trip, whether your itinerary, whatever that looks like. It's only served to breakfast right now though. So at when lunch transitions over, it goes to the spicy chicken waffles. So make sure that you do hit that up a Sleepy Hollow before the lunch menu takes effect, or you will not be able to get it on the day of the Pure Magic Kingdom. Overall, one of the best food items that I've had. It was just absolutely fantastic. So highly, highly recommend that. And then as we finished up there, we, like to Rick's point, he knew there was an area right on the other side of Sleepy Hollow and Liberty Square. So we walked into there for customer service, and he was like, hey, can you help us real quick? And the girl was amazing. She helped us link our profiles very quickly. And at this point, we had both already purchased Genie Plus. And I was able to get us a Lightning Lane for Haunted Mansion. And he was able to get us a Lightning Lane a Lightning Lane for Space Mountain. So when she merged us together, we lost the Lightning Lane for Space Mountain, so we were able to keep the Haunted Mansion though. So she was great. She was amazing with the way that she handled everything. She talked to Rick for a minute or two about his daughter going into the Disney College program, and like, so she took the time out of her day to be able to talk to him about that, and just created a little more pixie dust for us in the way she treated us and the way she handled everything. So kudos to her. You know, a lot of people, to your point, Sheila, are saying that, you know, Disney has lost the magic in some areas, but I can tell you the entire day was magical. We experienced cast members who were amazing from the get-go. Everyone said hi to us. We were thanking everybody. So I think that goes a long way in how you're treating them as well on how you're being treated with it. But from there, we went over to, if I'm not mistaken, Rick, we walked over at this point, since everything was open, we walked to Frontierland and we saw some of the bears from Country Bears Jamboree hanging out on the roof, waving to everybody, walking them and everybody in. And then we walked on over to Big Thunder Mountain. And we said, if I believe, am I mistaken, Rick, it was said it was right around the 20-minute wait, 25-minute wait at this point. But we never stopped walking and walked right onto Big Thunder Mountain at this point.
Yeah.
We were able to get on there, ride that ride. And then from there, we got off and walked over to Splash Mountain. And we waited all of 10 minutes for Splash Mountain at this point, and were able to get on there and enjoy that ride as well.
Yeah, the posted time for Splash Mountain was 55 minutes.
Yep.
And we were talking to each other, you know, debating how long we wanted to wait. We knew that it wouldn't be that long. And the cast member heard us, and she said, it's definitely not that long. So we went ahead and did it.
Can I ask what time of the morning this was by now, guys?
It was 9:54 when we got on Splash Mountain.
What was the crowds like at this time?
It looked extremely busy, you know, or those early hours when they let everyone in into the two areas of the park, into Fantasyland and to Tomorrowland. It looked very busy because that was the area that were open. But once the park opened fully, the crowds actually thinned out. And I would say, I think when we looked at auditorium plans, it was at a 5 for Magic Kingdom for the day that we were there. So it was a pretty small crowd for the day we showed up. So I think we got lucky, given that I'm seeing a lot of people on Facebook talking about how it's so busy in the parks. But we didn't really hit that big of a crowd. I mean, a lot of the like big rides, to Rick's point earlier, Peter Pan and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, those were very heavily inflated wait times, I think. I think they were trying to keep people from standing in line all day long for them. But those were probably two of the rides that had the longest wait time on them. But I think that we saw a very, very low crowd for the day that we were there.
Yeah. So in an hour and a half, we had done 4 attractions and had breakfast.
And one thing to circle back on, before we did Prince Charming's carousel, we were going to go into the Mickey's PhilharMagic, but they weren't opening the show for another 10 minutes. So we decided not to wait for that. And that's when we walked over to the carousel.
Yeah.
You heard your co-host play the game. You're actually living the day now. Are you feeling that you're kind of, I don't know how to say it, but kind of not basing it on the game, but do you feel you're actually playing the game of one day at Disney?
I did, yeah. I was like, yeah, just trying to maximize our time because I knew that we had a limited amount of time, because we did have a flight to catch that night and we had, you know, a rough idea. We wanted to try to do all 4 parks. It certainly wouldn't have been a deal breaker if we couldn't. And unfortunately, we had to leave before we could watch any of the nighttime shows. So that was just off the table, you know, because we had to be at the airport by 8:45 to do security and all that. But definitely it was, you know, like we talked about in the game about doing counter service over table service to maximize that time and, you know, trying to take into account our favorite rides, our favorite snacks, the things that we wanted to do. So it was totally like the game for me. And Patrick, he had said later to me that he was just kind of going along with the ride because he wanted a break from making decisions about what to do. Because as parents, that's what we do a lot of the time, is, you know, trying to, you know, talk to our kids or our spouse to try to figure out what they might want to do. And, you know, sometimes it's nice not to have to make decisions, I guess.
Yeah, I had to sort of put this in here. When you were at guest services, you know, getting connected together, you said, Patrick, that you couldn't go on Space Mountain because you had lost that time slot for that. And my first thought was, when we were playing the game, you lost out on Space Mountain with me because I had screwed up and done the wrong year. So did you ever make Space Mountain?
We did. I missed out.
Wasn't for lack of trying.
Okay, so guys, it's 10 o'clock. Would you like to carry on?
Well, it's more like almost 9:30 because Splash Mountain's a 20-minute ride. So we get off Splash Mountain and head towards Haunted Mansion because that's where our lightning lane is. And the cast members that were guiding the lines were really in character. I don't know if you feel that way, Patrick, but they were really in character for me, you know, being over dramatic and creepy and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I think it was one of the better experiences I've had from the cast member side of things on that ride, with the way that they actually played the role as cast members are supposed to. So I thought it was great the way they were.
Yeah. And once we scanned in to Haunted Mansion, I got a lightning lane for Space Mountain for 120. So our goal was to do all three mountains that day, and hopefully Everest as well. And so we did Haunted Mansion, and then we went and rode Pirates of the Caribbean, which is always a good time.
Yep, which same thing for that. That said, it was almost an hour wait, and for that one as well, we were talking about it, and the cast member said it's not nearly that long. So we ended up almost walking straight onto that. I think that ride was less, I think by the time we timed it, that was less than a 12-minute wait from walking in and getting into the boat.
Yeah.
So sometimes you really cannot go by what they're showing on the outside of the ride for wait times then.
Correct.
Yes.
Sometimes, like me, you get surprised and it's right on the dot or longer, but it didn't happen on this trip.
Right.
No, we got lucky. We kept using touring plans the entire day as well. So we were looking at those times compared to what Disney's wait times were. And they were, and I will say touring plans were pretty accurate on what they were calling.
Yeah, we actually made a plan of the rides we wanted to do, and it will actually optimize it for you and tell you where to go, how long it takes to walk there, how long you can expect to be in line, how long you can expect to be on the ride, and then where you go after that, and then you check it off. So we utilized that to some extent. After Pirates, we decided we wanted a snack. So we went to Aloha Isle, and I wanted the Tropical Serenade, which is coconut Dole Whip with Pog juice and a cake pop, a pineapple upside down cake pop. And Patrick decided he wanted one too, because that's what all the cool kids eat.
I'd never tried, and it's been on my list. And as soon as Rick ordered it, I was like, I've got to have one of those too.
And it was so good.
It was amazing. Another amazing treat for the day.
Okay, so you're doing quite well on this trip, Patrick, in the sense of, you know, trying out new foods with Rick.
Oh, yeah, that was a great thing. And that's what, you know, that was one thing that I was there for. I wanted to snack, wanted to just enjoy myself, not really make any major decisions. So I didn't want to leave everything on Rick, but everything he was deciding was great, really good. So I was like, you know, I don't want to be too much of a copycat, but we're just going to stick with Rick's decisions.
Good. It just meant we didn't have to split anything.
That's right. Got everything to ourselves. That was the good part.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm going to go back to that question I asked earlier on, that, you know, when you're at the airport, the excitement level. Okay, you've been in the park now, you know, you need a couple of hours. are you still feeding that, you know, two kids let loose in the park feeling, or?
Yeah, I kind of got worried that I was pushing them too hard.
Yeah, so at one point Rick did ask, you know, with my illness, you know, he was worried that he was definitely pushing me too hard and I was getting tired. So Rick was great and asked Maltman, asked a couple times throughout the day, am I pushing you too hard? And I'm like, no, let's keep going. We're going. Like, we're finally here. We're going to make the most out of it. And, like, we're going to hit off our four parks if I don't get out of bed for the next 3 days. So we were going to make sure that it happened.
Patrick also drove to Columbus from our home. So, you know, he had that 2.5-hour drive. You know, on top of everything else. So
yeah,
I only drove from MCO to Disney World, and that was a 20-minute drive. But after we ate, we went on the People Mover while we were waiting for our Space Mountain Lightning Lane. And we were on the People Mover, and it kept stopping. And then when we went in the Space Mountain part, the lights were on.
Oh, cool.
Which was really neat, but that also meant that Space Mountain was down.
Oh, yes. And you got a 120 Space Mountain time slot, yeah?
Yes.
Right.
And so we got off of that, and we headed over that direction. I think we went to the restroom because I was nice and gave him a bathroom break like he did.
Well, at this point, I had broken my watch band, my Apple watch band, the night before when we were in the car. I reached for something between the seat, and when I pulled up, it broke my band. So at this point, we walked over, and Rick was finding out what we could do to get any time pass. So when he did that, I walked into the little gift shop right there beside Space Mountain and walked in and ordered a watch band to be made. So while we were waiting on that, we hit the bathroom up, and then we were able to use that anytime pass he got us to go over to Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
Okay. Which I won.
Oh, but I was going to ask you. Who was in charge of moving the car around? Was that you, Rick?
It was Patrick.
He just, we got stopped in one spot, and we just kept going, and Rick just, his aim was just better than mine.
Right.
And then after that, it was pushing 2 o'clock, you know, which is when we could park hop. And as we said, the main reason we rented a car is because we didn't want to be dependent on Disney transportation in between the parks, you know, waiting for buses. We just wanted to be able to hop in the car and go. Since we are on site and staying on DVC points, I didn't have to pay parking, you know, either for the resort or the park. So that wasn't an issue. So we took the monorail over to the TTC and hopped in the car and drove to Animal Kingdom. And of course, we were in the monorail cabin by ourselves, and right at the last minute, this huge family of like 2 strollers and 75 people crowded in there.
So fun.
We didn't get to relax because we were standing so they could sit down with the kids and stuff.
That's funny.
So we drove to Animal Kingdom, like I said, and parked the car. We had special lunch plan because Cindy Ellicott, who was on the One Day at Disney show with us, was there as well. So we met her and her daughter for lunch at Flame Tree Barbecue.
So what was the food like at Flame Tree when you went?
It's pretty good to me.
Oh, fantastic as always.
What did you have anything different, Patrick?
No, I actually went with, I tell you what, I had a hard time because everything that day, I don't know if it was just because I was so hungry, but everything on that menu looked great on the day that we were there. So I kept going back and forth between the barbecue sandwich, between the half chicken, between the pulled pork macaroni and cheese. And at the last second, I did a split second decision and went with the good old and faithful trusty pulled pork macaroni and cheese with the barbecue sauce and onion rings on it. So and it was great as always.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, we talked about getting the ribs and half chicken combo because, you know, we were hungry, but we also knew that we'd be going to Epcot, and it was the Flower and Garden Festival, and we were hoping that we'd be able to hit up a couple of the food booths, and we didn't want to overdo it on our late lunch to where we couldn't enjoy the food booths.
Now, I do want to ask you one question at this point, because you're, you know, halfway through the day. As you're walking around, did you find yourselves, you know, looking at your watch to see, you know, how long you'd been in the park, how much more time before you have to leave Walt Disney? Or were you just totally relaxed and in the moment?
Yeah, totally both. I mean, obviously we had to keep an eye on the time. At the end of the day, you know, we weren't worried about what time we had to leave. Like I said, it wasn't, at least for me, a make or break issue if we didn't do all four parks.
Right.
It was more, you know, just being able to do what we wanted and enjoy our time together, get the food or snacks that we want, you know, try to ride the attractions that we want, and just, you know, be in the moment and enjoy it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think, you know, especially in the morning, you know, we weren't worried about anything except having fun, enjoying our day together, and just, you know, kind of making memories with one of your good friends. So that's what we were worried about. But I think as it got later, we were definitely more cognizant of the time and, you know, what we were doing when we had to leave. So it never got rushed was the good thing. So it just flowed smoothly. But I think as we got closer, especially around the 3:30 and 4 o'clock time frame, you know, as we were at Animal Kingdom and enjoying our lunch, like I think we became a little more aware of the time at that time or of that time of day. So I think that's how I felt about it.
Right. So you have lunch.
And even though we tried to do quick service to save time, we were there with them for an hour. And, you know, like I said, I've met Cindy and her daughter before, and they're just lovely people and fun to talk to, and happy to meet Patrick as well.
Yeah, it was definitely a great experience. I really enjoyed meeting both of them. And, you know, Cindy is one of the nicest people and one of the most lovely people in the world. So it was great being able to sit down and have some lunch with her and her daughter.
And I would have thought that, you know, 1 hour, not only in great company, but just having that 1 hour to charge your batteries up a little bit. And I'm not talking about your cell phones. I'm talking about, you know, your body batteries.
Yeah, that definitely helped.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and Rick got this nice little, he got this turning red cupcake that looked wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It was good. It had pineapple in it. And I'm a pineapple fiend.
You didn't take a picture of that, did you?
I did, yeah.
Oh, you didn't post it.
Well, no. That another thing was where I mentioned trying to be present in the moment, enjoying our time together.
Right.
I was trying personally, and Patrick was too, to not, you know, inundate social media. with everything. Yeah, of course, yeah, we were checking and we were, you know, chatting with our families and stuff like that, but, you know, not posting or, you know, doing that. But I took a picture of everything that we did.
Oh, cool. You know,
took a picture of Small World, the carousel.
We got waffles. You got a selfie of us at all the parks.
Yeah. Well, no. We didn't get one at Epcot. We kind of did.
And you and I, Rick, have on more than one occasion talked about, you know, living the moment as opposed to recording, you know, missing out that moment. So it's great to hear that you guys were doing that while you were there.
Yeah, I think that made a big difference, too, because, you know, I think, you know, with the age that we're in, with being on our cell phones or being on our electronics, especially with Disney, you know, heavily transitioning to that. Right. So we see that we're in the parks on our cell phones a lot, with whether it was the app or Genie Plus. But like, I feel like with us really taking that time away and staying off social media and really just focusing on that moment and getting pictures, and, you know, whether it, if we were on our phone talking to the family, that was one thing, but not being on social media the entire day, it was a nice break and to actually be able to enjoy Disney for what it is.
Oh, great. Really good comments there, guys.
And while we were eating, I made us a lightning lane for Expedition Everest. So as soon as we were done eating, we went and did that. And as soon as we checked into that, I made one for Dinosaur. And we did that.
You really know how to use this system, don't you?
So
I like to think so.
Yeah, so I will say, Rick taught me a lot about the system. So we were obviously there in November when it right after it rolled out, and we chose not to do it. But once Rick, like, we actually looked at the lightning lanes, and like, we went through and I understood how to do Genie Plus. If you're going to other parks, like, you know, some parks it may not be the best in, depending on if you're spending all day there. But I think Rick really showed me how to utilize it in a way that we really got the biggest bang for our buck out of you using it.
Well, thank you. So after we did Dinosaur, I booked a lightning lane for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Hollywood Studios, because that's like currently my favorite ride. And I wanted to make sure that we did that. We didn't do any of the paid lightning lanes. You know, we didn't do Rise of the Resistance. We didn't do Mine Train. We didn't do Remy, and we didn't do whatever that other park is. I can't remember. Pandora, you know, Flight of Passage. Not that, you know, I had anything against that. It just wasn't on our list of priorities.
I do have a question for you. At 2 o'clock, well, I know they changed it now. I think the 2 o'clock's now defunct. But when you changed over parks at two, what is that transition? What was that transition like? Were you going into a fairly empty-ish Animal Kingdom, or was it still pretty packed?
I think it depended on the area that we were in. So we went straight over to Flame Tree, and from where it was about the middle afternoon, a lot of people were heading over that way to get some lunch. So that was busy, but it was really busy, I think, because there was a live show going on at the time. So they had the performers out, right across from us that were doing like a street show. So it kind of gathered around. But when we walked over to Everest over in the Asia part of the, Animal Kingdom, there wasn't really busy at all, you know, and as we made our way over, I think it felt like, and you know, Rick said this when we were walking through, Dino Land. He said, I have never seen this many people in Dino Land. It was like everybody had like somehow made their way over there and were playing the games. Like, I've never seen it that busy. So that, I think that's where they all kind of congregated. But as we went into the Dinosaur ride, it wasn't busy at all. So it was like very, it was very centrally or geographically located within the parks as to what was busy and what wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, there were definitely more people walking out of the park than there were walking in the park when we came in. But like, Pat, I mean, they had the live show, and Kevin was out almost the whole time that we were eating lunch. We could see him or her. Yep. Sorry.
See her.
And when we were leaving Animal Kingdom, they were doing the last Flights of Wonder, I think is what it's called, the show they do in front of the Tree of Life with the parrots. in McCall's. So, but after we did Dinosaur, we left and we drove to Hollywood Studios. And I paid for preferred parking because our plan was to go to Hollywood Studios and then take the Skyliner to Epcot and then back, because the Skyliner doesn't have the same type of risk as waiting for a bus, if you know what I mean. And I knew the preferred parking was right beside the Skyliner station, so we'd be able to hop on the Skyliner from Epcot and then get right in the car and go. You know, so I was trying to make sure we had as much time available to enjoy the rest of the evening.
Okay. So how much is preferred parking then, Rick?
I think it's $45, but since we were staying on site, it was $20.
Okay.
Because you deduct the cost of regular parking off of it. That is $20 well spent, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because we were less than a minute away from the Skyliner station.
Oh, wow. That is very preferred then.
Yeah, we were lucky and got right in front of it.
And so we went in to Hollywood Studios. We looked at, we went through the shops. We were, I don't remember what I was looking for, but we went through the shops on our way. We had about an hour, I think, before Mickey and Minnie's Lightning Lane. So we were trying to figure out what to do. You know, at that point, I didn't want to wait in any long lines anymore if we could avoid it. So, you know, Tower Terror was out. Rock and Roller Coaster was out. Slinky Dog was out. We were going to do Toy Story Mania, but I think the time was just a little bit longer than what we wanted to wait. So I took a page from the One Day at Disney show, and we went to Patrick's favorite attraction. Do you remember what that is, Sheila?
Oh, hang on. That's not fair. Slinky Dog? No.
No.
Darn it. No. I can't remember. What is it?
Muppet Vision 3D.
Yes.
Yes. So.
Great attraction.
We did that. You know, I think we embodied the spirit of Waldorf and Statler while we were sitting there.
I would concur with that statement.
You know, it's a fun show. Lots of fun. And again, you know, it gives us a little bit of time to relax.
Yep. You know, get us out of the sun, because it never got extremely hot that day, but yeah. Hollywood Studios is definitely a warm park, and it was getting warm, so it got us out of the heat and into the air conditioning just for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we had a little bit of time before the Lightning Lane still. So I'd asked Patrick if he'd ever had any of the blue or green milk from Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and he had not. So we decided to walk through Galaxy's Edge around that way through Toy Story Land to get to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and we both got the blue milk. And, you know, I've had it before, and I knew I liked it, and Patrick liked it as well.
Yeah, it was definitely a good, nice little refresher as we were starting to get a little warm.
So this is a drink you'd buy again, Patrick?
Oh, absolutely. I told Amber that we are definitely getting some blue milk on our next trip. So I don't know if it was just because it was warm outside, it started getting warm there, or because I was kind of overdoing it a little bit, but that Flame Tree barbecue wasn't setting extremely well. And that blue milk, within 10 minutes of drinking it, I felt great. So, like, it calmed my stomach and gave me a little energy boost. And it was, like, the perfect thing that I needed.
Oh, that's worth knowing.
Yeah. See, I was pushing them too hard.
No. It was, we'll just say it was the flame tree.
Yeah. So, we walked through Toy Story Land, and I got a picture of Patrick in front of the alien swirling saucers.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, if you listen to... That was one post that I made to the Disney Crushers group, because, you know, they have a shirt that says, "Don't be an alien swirling saucer." And I asked everybody if Patrick was one. But then we went to Mickey Minnie's, and it was the first time that I think either of us had sat in the back car.
Yep.
And have you ridden that, Sheila?
Yes, I have. I was in the front.
Every car is basically a different experience because you see different things.
Okay, one of the kids, and I can't, I think it was Ev from the kids show. Ev was telling me that there's even one that's kind of a secret side to it.
Yeah, there's like three different storylines.
I did not know that.
In the ride. One of them is Mickey and Minnie, obviously. There's one with Pluto chasing, I think, the picnic basket.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I think, is Donald Duck and his mishaps.
So which component did you have when you rode it?
Well, I mean, you can see it all, but where we were in the last car, when we got into each room, it had already been set up.
Oh, okay.
Whereas if you're in the front car, when you get in there, you see everything being set up. You see the scene coming to life. And being in the back, it's already come to life. And, you know, actually, you know, you miss out on some of the beginning stuff, but you get to see some of the ending stuff that you wouldn't see otherwise.
So if you're going to ride this, ride it first up front, ride it second up back then, yeah?
Not necessarily. I mean, I would recommend trying to ride in the different cars just to get the different experiences. So after that, we hopped on the Skyliner. And after we scanned into Mickey and Minnie, I got a Lightning Lane for Frozen Ever After. So we hopped on the Skyliner and we timed it so we would have a rough idea of what time we need to get back on the Skyliner to be able to leave on time. And I think, what was it, 24 minutes, Patrick?
Yeah, it was right at the 23, 24 minute mark.
But we had stopped a couple times.
Yep, stopped a couple times. And then we also waited in a little bit of a line once we reconnected to go over to Epcot at the Caribbean Beach Station. So that a little bit of time to it. And then, so right at the 24-minute mark sounds about right.
And that was really different for me. I think it was for you as well, Patrick, because when we were in line to get in the Epcot Skyliners, we were seated with other people. And I've never ridden with another party on the Skyliner. I mean, that cast member was just, you know, there were three different parties in our car, which is weird.
Yeah, so we've had that one other time when we were there in November, but other than that, we've never had that. So it was definitely a little I don't want to say odd experience, but definitely different, just because it's so awkward, because nobody wants to talk, everyone's quiet, no one wants to say anything. So it just makes for an awkward trip for everybody when that happens. So at one point, me and Rick started talking, there was a lady in there. And found out she was pregnant with twins at the time and looked like she was on her own little trip So we've got to talk to her for a second. But, you know, if you're not one that's an introvert, or you're an introvert, it makes for definitely one of those times where you're like, this really isn't the best situation for me.
Yeah, I would also think if you're sat opposite a family that you don't know, for me, it would stop me from looking forward. I would feel I'd have to be looking out the side windows, not the front windows, in case they think I'm staring at them. I think that's just a bit too close, like in your own space, basically.
Yeah, and I don't think the line that we of people going to Epcot really warranted it. But, you know, I think that's just that cast member was just getting people moving, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean certainly never in the trip or anything.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, you can understand that, you know, when the park's closed and they're trying to get everyone back to their beds at the resort. But, you know, like you're saying, if it's not that busy, why are they doing that, you know?
Yeah. And that was the only time that it happened. You know, when we came from Hollywood Studios to Caribbean Beach, we didn't. And then when we came back, both times we were by ourselves.
Right.
But once we got to International Gateway, we went in and we hooked a left to go through the United Kingdom. And we had talked about going to some of the booths, but we just kind of hemmed and hawed about it and didn't make a decision. You know, Patrick did say he wanted to go to Caramel Kush to get one of the ginger snap cookies that Cindy mentioned on the show. And I've had one of them, so I wholeheartedly agreed with it. So, we stopped at the ports of entry there at the front of World Showcase to get some souvenirs for the family.
I think, too, Rick, when we looked at one of those reasons we were kind of going back and forth about doing the booths, I think World Showcase was probably the busiest area
that we
ran into through the whole day. So I think that was one thing that kind of made us a little apprehensive as we were talking about it, because some of those booth lines were pretty long and we didn't want to really get caught up in that and lose the little bit of time that we were going to have at Epcot. But, you know, Epcot, I mean, it's one of those parks that has those shows and, you know, has that nighttime life to it. So, you know, we went over there as it started picking up. So I think that was one of the things that we knew and we were kind of aware of that was really making that decision hard for us.
Yeah, World Showcase was definitely the busiest of everything. And we knew that we needed to be on the Skyliner by about 7:30 to get back to, we want to, you know, give ourselves a buffer to get to Hollywood Studios and get in the car, because we needed to leave the Disney Resort by around 8 o'clock to make sure that we got to the airport in time. So, you know, we got on Frozen at 6:48. We knew we didn't have, you know, we knew we had that Lightning Lane, which would get us on the ride, but we knew we didn't really have a lot of other time after that.
Yep. Yeah, so we didn't have much time to spare. So we did the Lightning Lane for that, and then we went over and got straight in line at Caramel Kush. And then we had these wonderful ladies from your neck of the woods, Sheila, from with these wonderful British accents that came over and started talking to us as we were in line, asking that where the line was, if this is for everything. So it was, you know, we talked to them for a second. You know, it was great being able to see that as we were in there too.
Oh, cool.
Disney's for everybody. You know, so these people from across the pond are over, and you know, they're in there in this German area just buying all this caramel corn and everything. So it was great being able to interact with them.
And I suppose I have served a purpose by allowing you to understand some English then, yeah?
Exactly.
Just a little. Yeah.
Just a little.
Did we go to Mexico, Patrick? I can't remember.
We walked through Mexico, but we unfortunately didn't stop at anything.
Okay. I can't remember. I must be thinking about my trip with Brandy.
Yeah, we walked the whole world showcase. Because
yes.
By the time we got out of Norway, we said, let's just finish up this way and continue with France so we can cut over that way instead of backtracking, because we figured it'd be the same amount of time, you know, whichever way that we were going to go. So we did walk through everything, but we just unfortunately didn't have time to stop at many places.
Yeah, we each got one of those ginger snap cookies with the buttercream filling to snack on.
Oh, needed more than one.
Mm-hmm. Patrick ate his on the way to the airport.
Oh, I couldn't wait any longer. It smelled too good. I had to eat it.
Yeah. Oh, we got back on the Skyliner at 7:30, and we got through in 20 minutes because we didn't stop at all. And we pulled out of the parking lot right at 8 o'clock to go to the airport.
Drop off the car, go through security. You made it to the gate okay?
Yep.
Yeah, Patrick doesn't have pre-check. So when we got to the car drop-off, he went ahead and left to go, you know, get a head start on security while I did the check-in with the car. And then we actually both got through security probably within 2 or 3 minutes of each other.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it was because, I don't know if it was because of the time of night that it was, you know, by the time we made it through. But I would say from the time I hit the check-in line, had my ID checked, and then made through all of security to the other side was less than 15-minute experience.
Wow.
At MCO, which that's what I was more nervous about than anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you see that, that's the biggest complaint right now with MCO is all these flights being pushed back or canceled, and then how bad I almost did pre-check just because of that, which for my work, I probably should anyway, because I fly so much, but it would just make more sense. But I almost did it just for this trip alone, because I was so worried about how long it was going to take me to get through. And all that was running through my head was, I'm going to miss our flight. I'm going to get stuck in Orlando. I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to get home. Like, what's going to happen?
So you actually get on your plane. I would imagine you fell into those seats, Patrick. What was the feeling like on the return trip? Did you guys fall asleep? Did you talk about the day?
We sat down, and next thing I know, we're getting ready to land. So I woke up just before landing. But I had to take a nap, or I had to take a nap regardless, because, you know, like Rick alluded to earlier, I drove to Columbus. So I had to drive us home as well, because, you know, Rick needed the rest on the way back, because Rick had to go straight to work after we dropped him off at home. So yeah. He needed to make sure he got some rest. So we both got some shut eye. But yeah, as soon as we got on that plane, you know, backpack goes under the seat, seatbelt went on, and eyes were closed.
Yeah, I don't remember taking off.
I can't remember. It's been a couple of weeks now, and I have followed another flight since.
Week.
Oh, is that it? Oh, my gosh, Rick, it seems so much longer.
We landed a week ago today.
Wow.
Got in about 1 o'clock because our flight was delayed about 15 or 20 minutes.
Right. And then you had what? On top of that, Patrick, another 2 hours, 2.5 hours before home?
Yeah, I think by time we ended up making a home, because, you know, you have to do all the tricks of the trade when you're driving and when you're tired and it's pitch black outside. So, you know, me and Rick live in we don't live in like small, like rural areas of West Virginia, but, you know, we live in smaller areas. So not like one of the three major cities. We live outside of them, but the roads to get there are pitch black. There's no lights on them. So it was just miles and miles at that time. So I stopped once or twice to stretch my legs, some rest areas to walk around for a second to make sure that I was awake. So I think by the time we ended up getting home, it was about a 3-hour and 15-minute drive.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Just like, it's just like that, a takeoff. You don't remember.
Yeah, I was passed out.
All right, let's see if we can wrap up the program, but also wrap up your day. And I know you're going to correct me, because I'm probably wrong on some of this, Rick. How I saw your day was that you definitely got breakfast in, you got lunch in, you got two snacks, you did four parks, three roller coasters. I got you tagged in at 14 rides, correct me if I'm wrong. You took a tour around the world and you went on monorail more than once. Is that basically it? Oh, and you had lunch.
No, we did the monorail once, Skyliner twice.
Oh, Skyliner twice.
And we did the ferry boat to get to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. And then you also had lunch with a Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Two Canadians.
Oh, yes, a daughter. I forgot. Yes. So, okay, so that was your day. So I've got two questions before we close out the show. And, you know, if you want to make any other comments, you can do that as well. But if I was to ask you, if you had to do a do-over on this day, would you have done anything different? Patrick?
I don't think so. You know, I think that was one thing that me and Rick had discussed, was that, you know, it seemed like everything that could have went well, went well. Like, you know, every other day that you're normally at Disney, an obstacle may come up, something may happen, and, you know, it kind of throws a wrench in your gears. But I think we had an overall great day. We didn't have any issues. Everything just kind of came together. So for me, I don't think there's really one thing that, looking back on, that I would change for that day.
Okay, Rick?
The only thing I would change, and just because it was so hard, would be to stay another night and take a flight out early in the morning. So, you know, we have that rest rather than, you know, subjecting one of us, which was Patrick in this case, to, you know, driving the 2.5 hours after a breakneck day. I think it was a good decision to stay the night there, so we got a good fresh start. But that's the only thing I would change. Everything else was great. You know, kind of playing it by ear, not having a big major plan, but just, you know, trying to knock out some highlights and, you know, having a couple of things that we really wanted to try to get done, you know, but not doing something wouldn't. Like, if we missed out on doing one of the things, it wouldn't have ruined the trip. Like, we didn't get to ride Space Mountain. You know, that certainly didn't ruin the trip at all.
And I think you guys went with the right attitude, to be quite honest. You know, just listening to you for the last hour. My other quick question, back to you, Patrick. Was there a magical moment that stood out for you spending the day with Rick?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, I don't think I can pinpoint one. I think it was just, you know, being really good friends, living so close to each other, and just being able to, like, make that day happen, I think was probably in the moment for me, that magical moment. So, you know, me and Rick talk daily. We've become close friends over the last couple of years. And just being able to go with someone who loves Disney as much as you do, who's really close to you and like really good friend to your family. I think that in and of itself for me is what made the day even better.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Follow that one, Rick.
Well, I think it kind of cemented the fact that we would like to vacation together sometime in the future with our families. Yeah. Cause our wives are friends. And our kids are the same age, and it's fun to share those experiences with friends. You know, obviously, if we went as family groups and stayed for a few days, we wouldn't do everything together. We'd probably, you know, break off and do some individual family stuff and But just having the opportunity to do that, and, you know, that was a kind of like an eye-opening experience, you know, because I've gone to Disney with friends, other friends as well, and, you know, that's one of my favorite things is sharing the Disney experience with, you know, people I care about, like my friends or my family. You take my dad, you know, being able to do that kind of thing. Yeah, because I've been to Disney without my kids, and Patrick hasn't. And as much as we love our children, I think it's a good experience. And sometimes it's an important experience to see that you can still do things that are fun without your kids. You know, because a lot, you know, Brandy and I, we've been married for almost 24 years. And we didn't do anything without our kids for 17 years, ever. You know, every trip we took, we had at least one of our kids with us. And it took us 17 years to do something, you know, not work-related, you know, because I've been away from work without the kids.
Yeah.
You know, Brandy and I are more than just mom and dad, and, you know, Patrick and Amber are more than just mom and dad. And I think it's important to share those type of experiences. So, you know, Patrick can, you know, see that and hopefully be able to share that experience with Amber someday, you know, a mom and dad trip. You know, Disney isn't just for kids. You know, it's for everybody.
Exactly. And
yeah,
you can have so many different experiences based on who you go with, when you go. You know, if you go with a large party or a small party or by yourself, you know, it's always going to be a different and, I think, fun and magical experience.
Okay, so you get to Rick's house, Patrick, and he's getting out the car. Once again, I'm all about emotions. Huh. Did you guys hug?
No, I got out, stood up to walk around a little bit, and he ran inside to get ready for work.
Yeah, I was worried that he wasn't going to make it home.
Now, how far from each other are you? Because you are really darn close, aren't you?
Yeah, we're less than 10 minutes away from each
other. Okay, yeah. Right.
The hop, skip, and a jump away. So I dropped him off, jumped onto the interstate, 7 miles to the exit, and my house is a mile off the exit. And so I made it home, and I laid down in bed, and Amber's alarm started going off for her to go to work.
Yeah, when we were almost to Hurricane, which is where I live, my alarm went off. You know, my work alarm. At 4:30, and wow. We got to my house right around 5, you know, so I came inside and changed my clothes, got my stuff for work, and went out, and I mean, it was a rough day because I was tired, and like I said, I was worried about Patrick because, you know, I was going to tell him to text me and let me know he got home. I never heard anything, and I didn't see any wreck when I went out to work, so I assumed that he made it.
I got home and crashed. I slept for about 3.5 or 4 hours. Luckily, I was on vacation from work for the week, so Amber took the kids to school, so I wouldn't have to get up an hour after getting home, so she graciously did that. But, yeah, I slept until about 10 o'clock, got up, and then went on with my day.
I thought there was truly, truly amazing what you did, because as I said, we played the game. This just went so hand in hand to, you know, what we were trying to achieve through a game. You actually achieved it in real life. And I really am happy that you guys actually got down there for sure. So is there anything else you guys want to say before I close out the show?
Well, I looked at my tracking, and we walked 10.2 miles.
Woo! Yeah, that was a good answer to a question I should have asked. As I said, amazing. You blew me away the day that I saw the video online. And to our listeners, you know, I played the audio part of this. And unfortunately, you know, Rick sounds a bit muffled because he's wearing a mask. But Patrick sounds amazing. But if you get a chance, just go over to, you know, our group. I'll bump it back up to the top when this show gets published. And go and look at the video because, I don't know, it was just amazing seeing two people I know that kept this hidden from me. Anyway, on that note, to our listeners, thanks for staying to the end. Rick and Patrick, thank you so much for sharing your day with us. It really did sound like an amazing day. And I would say that this show is now a wrap. So, good night all.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Okay.
Stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. It's been fun, but now I've got to go.
And thank you!